I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I am Coach X, and I too have a trading problem.
I'm excited to have Coach X on because, well, for two reasons, really. First of all, weirdly enough, Coach X lives like 10 minutes away from me,
Yep.
and for some reason, we still didn't think to do this in the same place.
Yeah, well, why didn't we?
Like, it's bad enough that I forgot to tell him we record on Skype and he had to download it right now because he uses Hangouts to record. But we were never like, dude, we should just, like, get a beer and record this somewhere. So, idea for the future. We're getting a beer somewhere and recording somewhere.
For sure. And you live closer to my job, and, like, I rushed home to record this. I could have just came by you and just did it there and it would have been done.
Man, we could have ordered a pizza or something and just, you know, sat down and recorded.
I do want pizza. Now you made me hungry.
All right, well, you're going to wait till after we're recording now.
Okay.
And reason number two I'm excited to have Coach X on is because we already had Rod on, and to steal a little bit of your thunder of introducing yourself, you have a podcast with Rod, so why don't you just jump straight into that?
We do. Our podcast is named Top Shelf Daily Fantasy Football, Top Shelf DFF for short. We just launched, I think, March 1st, and you know we have a website. It's called Top Shelf Daily Fantasy. It's called TopShelfDFF.com. We actually changed the name, made it a little bit shorter. We post articles in there. We just finished our running back rankings this week, working on our wide receiver rankings towards the end of this week. Record a podcast. We try to do it once a week. Once the season starts, we'll do it twice a week. But we just like to have fun, talk about football, you know, try to break down, try to have guests on, and hopefully we'll be able to have Dynasty Outhouse and Brian on a little bit later this off season.
Oh man, you just gotta ask. We're all about whoring ourselves out. All right, so let's jump into the fun guest interview stuff. How long have you been playing fantasy football?
Pure fantasy football, about 8 years, since like 2010, I would say, since I was like a sophomore in college or junior in college. Yeah, about 8 years.
All right, so we've already established that you're much younger than I am. Okay. How long have you been playing Dynasty?
4 months.
Nice.
Yeah, just started this year. I'm in 10 dynasty leagues now, so the turnover happened really, really quickly. But I love it. You know, I like the component of looking at young guys and addressing different values based on, you know, that age component and you know, maybe where they're going to be next year and things like that. So I like kind of looking, you know, for the future.
Nice. Come rocking down with the sickness. I like
it. Yeah.
All right, so I guess this is going to make this next part a little hard. Have you done any trades yet? Do you have any best or worst trades?
Oh yeah. I mean, I've done a bunch of trades. I mean, I've done trades in the redraft leagues too, but the worst trade that I've – it's not by me, but by someone in Dynasty Fanatics 1. We were in the startup draft and, you know, we get an alert, you know, on our phones, like an email, and then, like, you know, we're all on GroupMe, so, like, they send the trades through there too. And it's Patrick Mahomes for Christian McCaffrey. Straight up.
I mean, super flex?
Yeah, super flex, yeah.
All right, that makes it better.
And I was like, everyone was like complaining, like saying it was like, you know, it was fixed. And I was like, well, I mean, it's not like a terrible trade, but it's like, it's not good, but it's not like atrocious where I could like think there was some conspiracy theory or, you know, or something like that. But
yeah, that's yeah. I mean, especially if you're new to Superflex, like I definitely have done some bad quarterback deals in the past before I really knew what they should be worth.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, you're right. But that's not great.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to agree with you that that's not great, but it's definitely not cheating.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with that deal was the team that traded Mahomes away was weak at running back, and the team that traded Christian McCaffrey away was weak at quarterback. So, like, I could see why the value was there for both guys and why they maybe, you know, wanted to make it happen because they kind of had to help their team out a little bit. So
right.
it seemed fine to me.
Yeah, and, like, why I will always go with hashtag never veto, because for all we know, Mahomes is going to tank.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's the reason everyone thinks it's unfair is because this guy got a quarterback for, what do you call, CMC, like 102-ish? I mean, and Mahomes is worth more than one first. And it's really just, oh man, what's that word? Perceived value. There you
yes.
go. Because we haven't really seen him do it yet. So for all we know, Mahomes sucks and the CMC guy won. So
absolutely.
Hashtag never veto. All right. So let's hear some. I want a good trade that you've done.
Oh man, a good trade that I've done. Oh,
all right, how about a trade
I have one.
Lost.
I have one actually. Okay. I have one actually. I gotta remember what it is though. I just traded. I just did it in a startup. I posted about it actually. So I traded Alvin Kamara for Christian McCaffrey, speaking of Christian McCaffrey, that's kind of funny. Royce Freeman, it was like their next pick, which was like three picks away, and a 2020 first. I got a really big haul for Alvin Kamara, and I was kind of happy about it because, like, I have zero shares of Alvin Kamara right now in any of my leagues. And what had happened in this league was I traded up to the 106 spot and got to take Le'Veon. I wanted Saquon to fall to 108, but the guy at 107 took him. So then I took Alvin and was looking for trade partners like consistently throughout the draft because I knew of his value. I knew of his perceived value. So I kind of wanted to exploit that a little bit. So I think I got a pretty good haul late in that draft. And that draft pick that I traded for ended up being TJ Watt in IDP. So I think that was a good kind of haul. So Royce Freeman, TJ Watt, and Christian McCaffrey, and a 2020 first for Alvin Kamara.
Nice. We on the Trade at X-Pod are big into Royce Freeman, so we definitely back your side on that.
Absolutely.
All right, and I know you're a new fledgling to these trades, but what guiding principle do you go into these with that you try and keep yourself to when you're evaluating or offering trades?
If I'm looking to kind of pick up a piece from someone, I always offer a trade that's close but is favoring my side. So I don't if I'm sending out a dry, cold cut offer to someone without having a conversation with them, I don't want to get in a situation where I'm sending them a trade that I wouldn't want to let go, of players I wouldn't want to let go for that specific value. So I always try to send trades that are close, but like I'm expecting them to say, hey, I don't like this trade. Can you counter? And then I get closer and closer to like the trade that I would be fine with. Everyone wants to win a trade. Like I would love to go into a trade where I get the most value out of the trade. Who doesn't like that? And, we're playing a game. We're trying to win. So it makes sense. But, I don't want to think that I'm giving them like a disrespectful trade off where they're like, I don't want to trade with this guy ever again. So I like it to be close, but 9 times out of 10, I'm not upset if they're like, oh, let's revisit. Let's talk about stuff. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Let's talk. Like what do you think needs to change? Like, oh, I'd rather a second than your third. I'm like, that's it. Yeah, sure. No problem. Done right away. Done. So, I would just say send out feelers, but make them close, so they're not disrespectful and people aren't, assuming that you just want to kind of get one over on them.
Yeah, I like it. The way I say it is you'd smile if they accept it, but you don't really expect them to.
Exactly.
All right, so let's move on to some news, because a couple of things actually finally happened, and I feel like things are going to keep happening.
Absolutely.
And I'm excited about that, because football...
coming up. Last full week of football. Right. This week. Next Thursday, right? Or next Wednesday? Something? Bears or somebody, I think?
If they actually play the Hall of Fame game. Well, it's not like 40 degrees out like it was that year where they had to actually cancel the game.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
I mean, nobody actually wants to watch the Hall of Fame game, but it's football. We haven't seen football in forever.
Yeah, I just want to.
So I want to watch that first like two drives and get bored and change the channel.
Yep.
All right. So Brandon Cooks got paid. He got 5 years, $80 million, which is a lot of money. Does that affect anything for you?
I think it gives people reassurance on what, the Rams kind of have planned for him. So I think a big thing was, he kept bouncing from team to team. So he was at the Saints for a couple of years and went to the Patriots last year and then got traded away to the Rams for, another first round pick. So I think in a lot of people's minds, it was, what do they really have in store for him? He's kind of bounced around. He's like, we know what he does. He's a deep threat, stretches the field. The value is going to be there. But, is he there for the long term? Is there something that we can invest in this guy? So I think that what we're going to see in ADP over the next, I would say couple weeks to a month, is we're going to see him kind of shoot up the board a little bit. I wouldn't say like skyrocket, but he's going to move up, three, four places because people are going to feel a little bit more secure in drafting him, in that, I would say, third, fourth, fifth round, depending on obviously team number of teams in the league, but around that spot, they're going to be more kind of confident in getting him there.
Yeah, I agree. It's, if anything, this takes away that there must be something up with him that nobody wants to hold on to him.
Exactly.
Kind of thing. And that, his biggest knock is inconsistency week to week, but now at least he'll be consistent year to year.
Exactly.
And also, this sort of, in my mind, backs up the fangirling that McVay was doing over Cooks. Mm-hmm.
In those videos.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. So, go buy Cooks, even though it's probably a little late. What do you think Cooks is worth now? That's my question. Let's say Superflex, because that's the way I like to talk. What pick equivalent do you think he's worth? Or what did you think he was before this?
I thought like, I'm just going to go straight up here. Obviously, we're not talking about, like, other things kind of balancing out the trade. But, like, if someone, like, if I was sending someone, like a late first or a two, I would, like, I could see someone accepting that just because you didn't know what kind of he was worth. But, like, I would send a one for Cooks right now. I would send a 2019 one for Cooks. And I'm not high on the 2019 class. Like, it's not something that, like, I don't want to have 2019 picks, if I'm being honest. We'll talk about this when we get to my trade targets later in the show. But I would easily give up a 2019 first for Cooks. Like, no debate in my mind. Like,
yeah, I think at this point it needs to be trending towards the earlier side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now that he's solidified. All right, so speaking of people getting paid, let's talk about Le'Veon Bell not getting paid. Well, to be fair, he's getting paid, just not long term. To no one's surprise, I think, Le'Veon Bell did not get a long-term deal worked out with the Steelers. I don't think anyone thought he was going to. Now, do you have any thoughts that his value could even stay equal on another team?
He's going to eclipse another like 400 plus touch season, and now the Steelers are going to definitely use him down to the bones, if you would say. So he's going to get a lot of mileage on him. But something I talked about in our podcast that released Sunday morning was when we did our running back rankings that, you know, Le'Veon Bell is still, you know, a top four, you know, fantasy football asset to me. But going into next year, if I'm drafting Dynasty, like I might take a guy like Saquon or like – I don't like Kamara, but like I can see people arguing Kamara just because Le'Veon's going to get another 400-plus touch season and then we don't know where he's going to go. So, yeah, he could stay with the Steelers still technically. That's still on the table, but like he's betting on himself. So he's got to hope that a team is going to pay the amount of money that he wants, as you know, he wants to be paid as an elite receiver and an elite running back, which I mean I think he is, but – I could see teams paying, like I could see the Jets paying that. Like I can see specific teams, like, you know, giving him whatever he wants because of what he's done in the past. So I think he still should be drafted where he's drafted, and then redraft, he should still be a top four. And I could see someone say he should still be, you know, a top four pick, arguably, you know, number one, because he says he wants to play all 16 games. You know, he's not holding out, like he's coming immediately. So, you know, that's something in redraft that I'm not avoiding. Like I'm still going to draft him high. Like he's the guy who he's supposed to be, but in Dynasty, I may push him down a little bit just because I don't know where he's going to end up.
Yeah. I will use this to buy Lev Bell because the dude's so good. And I know that if you buy him now, you're buying it probably at the highest his price will ever be from now on, short of someone crazy buying him to try and win a title later in the season. Because I don't think there's anywhere he can go short of San Francisco with McKinnon flaming out that would actually keep his value even the same as it is now. But I'll add him to the list of people that I will ride into the sunset on my roster because that's just how good he is. I mean, even 80% Le'Veon Bell is better than most of the running backs in the league. So I'll be fine with 80% Lev Bell in 2 years.
Absolutely, I agree.
All right, so let's move on to this very not exciting thing that DeMarco Murray retired. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't.
I've been off of Murray for 2 years now.
Yeah.
Even when he was having that great season on the Titans 2 years ago, you sort of felt that it wasn't for the long haul. And then last year, all the injuries and all of that stuff, and it's Derrick Henry time. Don't give me that Deion Lewis stuff. I don't want to hear about it. But I guess... to me, this helps everybody in the NFL because, Murray's going to sign with the Colts. Murray's going to sign with the Bills, and now he's not.
Yep.
All right, so I don't think we need to talk
about
that.
I don't care. We can move on. DeMarco Murray. Awesome. Don't care.
All right, so what I forgot to actually tell you guys was that today we're going to be talking about some trade targets because I asked Coach X what he wanted to talk about, and he said, let's talk about trade targets. And I'm a good host. So I let him talk about what
great
he wanted.
Great host.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we're going to start with wide receivers. I'm going to let X talk about a few of the guys. I'll jump in if I feel like it, and then I'll list a few guys, and he'll jump in if he feels like it. So get us started.
My first trade target is Corey Davis. This is a guy that I'm looking to kind of get as many shares of as possible. I know he didn't flash what we thought he was going to flash in the regular season, but I like to look, you know, young receivers. I like to look at how they perform in the playoffs and how they're, you know, offensive coordinators target them, you know, during the most crucial parts of the season. So, you know, if you think about the Titans and what they did in the playoffs, they made a very, very small run, and Marcus Mariota kind of took a step forward in his ability to be a field general and be a, you know, and this is not in the fantasy aspect, just be, you know, a leader on that team. And Corey Davis was peppered with targets in those two games. I think he had 15 targets, 9 receptions, 98 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So that kind of provided me the extra kind of oomph that I needed to kind of, if I wanted to trade for him, I got what I wanted to see. So, you know, in leagues where I can't draft him, you know, maybe his, you know, I'm reaching a little bit, or he doesn't fall where I want him to fall, I'm definitely trying to move some pieces and specifically some draft picks, some 2019 picks, to get him on my team. Cause I think he's truly going to be, you know, that number one wide receiver that Mariota looks for, when he needs that crucial third down, when he needs that deep ball in the corner of the end zone. I think he's going to kind of lean on Corey Davis. I think Corey Davis is going to be a breakout candidate for this year.
Amen.
Big on Corey Davis. Oh, yeah. Who's next? Doug Baldwin is next. I don't have any notes on Doug Baldwin. Like, every time I see Doug Baldwin, I just want Doug Baldwin. I think I have 4 shares of him through the 10 dynasty leagues I'm in right now, and where I drafted him at, I'm so happy. 2 of those leagues, I have a Russell Wilson stack with him, so that's something that me and Savi, you know, who was on this podcast a couple weeks ago, are big on, is finding those stacks and kind of exploiting them to the best ability. And we like to kind of keep our stacks with our elite quarterbacks, so Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. We try to actually stay away from Carson Wentz. I'm not a big Alshon Jeffrey fan, but you know, guys like that who can provide, you know, Deshaun Watson, you know, Deshaun Watson with Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins is a big one for me too. But finding guys you can stack, I think Doug Baldwin is a crucial piece in that offense. With, you know, people are saying Brandon Marshall went there, right?
I mean, he is there,
but he's probably gonna be cut. He's probably a cut target. But with Brandon Marshall going there, I know people were saying, oh, he's gonna lose some targets. It's like, no, he's not. Like no. Doug Baldwin is, you know, Russell Wilson's security blanket. Probably actually his only security blanket left on that team. So if anything, he's going to be peppered with more targets. So I'm just big on trying to find Doug Baldwin, you know, on a lot of places.
All right. Well, you already touched on the next guy a little bit, so bring it on.
Yeah, I mean, Will Fuller, 7 touchdowns with Watson. You know, I think the explosive is there, and when he's healthy, we see what he can do. So I would love, you know, and this is kind of like a feeler trade target, somebody who I'm just like, oh, I hope he kind of works out, but I'd be willing to pay a little extra for him to see what he's kind of got with a healthy Deshaun Watson, who's looking really, really good for preseason. So Will Fuller is someone I'm looking at as well from the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I mean, I love all of these. I'm always been a huge Corey Davis fan. Doug Baldwin's my boy. Hashtag no respect receiver. Yep. That all he does is produce. And I love the idea of Will Fuller. The reality of him is a little scary, but if you can get him as your 3rd, 4th wide receiver, which you should be able to trade-wise even, especially, then that's awesome. Yeah. Full on. Go get all those guys. And, well, Baldwin and Fuller you should be able to probably even get for later firsts at this point. Davis. I mean, to me, Davis, I think we talked about it in a past pod. Less than the 101, more than the 102. So you'll have to spend to get Davis, but I'm with you. I think he'll double that soon. All right, so let's jump into mine. I was talking about with Lev Bell that I would ride him into the sunset on my team. I will also do that with Julio Jones, who is my first go-by wide receiver. I tried once or twice today and got shot down. We'll keep trying because I want more Julio shares. This guy will keep producing. He has such a safe floor of 12-ish 100 yards and almost 90 catches. And then all that has, it's up and down with the touchdowns, and that's just with just about everybody. Unless you're DeAndre Hopkins or Davante Adams, you fluctuate with touchdowns. So I'm all about buying some Julio Jones. Next is a little more controversial, I guess, but I'm still all in on Amari Cooper.
Yep.
And I think now is probably the lowest you'll be able to buy him. I don't trust Gruden's offense at all, but I mean, he likes that number one receiver. He has said he's going to run the offense through Amari Cooper, and all we really have to go off right now is coach talk. So I'll embrace it because it helps my side of the argument. So I would go by Amari Cooper. I think you can get both of them for, I mean, it'll take an earlier first for both, if not maybe 2 mids. And I would be willing to do that pretty easily. because I think these guys are players you build your team around. If you can get both of them, that's wonderful, because you'll have two players I think will do well now, and then one is still like high school age, so you'll have him forever.
Yeah. I mean, I think Amari Cooper is a candidate to be a wide receiver one this year. I would not be surprised if he finishes as the third-ranked wide receiver, you know, after the season. I'm really big on Amari Cooper this year.
Yeah, you are. That's definitely bigger than me, but I like it. My last guy is Jarvis Landry, and I think, again, you could buy a little low because nobody knows with the new situation. Ian Rappaport was tweeting today about the Browns need wide receiver help, and I think that's insane.
I was so confused at that. I saw that.
I don't know, man. I'm not the biggest fan of that guy, unless you listen, in which case, big fan. But no, big fan of Jarvis Landry. There you go. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is, whether it's Baker or it's Tyrod. They both like their safety blankets. It was Clay in Buffalo, or it was Andrews in, what was it, Oklahoma,
yeah.
Whatever the hell Baker played college. That my mind just went blank, but I got it right. So they both have their safety blanket guys, and that's just what Jarvis Landry is. I know he got paid to be a number one wide receiver, but I think as long as Flash is on that field, he's going to be that field stretcher. He's going to be that, you know, big route running guy. And if Jarvis Landry can still get all those targets, he'll be, it's the same as he always is, another no respect guy. You pay like a late first for him and he's going to be a wide receiver six. I mean, to me, it's silly that people are fading further away from him than they normally do.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand the context. Like, I got to understand if people are fading Josh Gordon because Tyrod Taylor's there, because Tyrod doesn't love to throw the deep ball, but like, he's a check down type of quarterback, and like, so is Baker Mayfield. What does Jarvis Landry thrive in? The slot check down role. So why are you fading the guy that fits the profile of both of these quarterbacks? Like, I just don't understand the concept to me. I love Jarvis Landry, and I have him in like almost all my leagues because people just keep fading him, and I just keep drafting him late. Like, I think I got him in the seventh round in one of my drafts, like something stupid like that.
Wow.
I was like, sure, I'll gladly. I think I actually traded into that round because I saw he was dropping, and I was like, I'll give up. I think I gave up like a 2019 first and a 2020 second or something like that, because like, I just didn't, like, I was like, I don't care, like I'm moving up.
That's still
bummer. Yeah, I was like, I'm getting him.
All right, so you talked about this guy like four times already, but start your running backs off with Christian McCaffrey.
Oh man, I mean, first things first, if anyone doesn't know, I'm a huge Cam Newton fan, so I watch a lot of the Panthers game. I stream every single one of their games. So while I'm an Eagles fan, the Super Bowl champion Eagles, I'm also a Cam Newton fan. So I watch a lot of their games. So watching Christian McCaffrey last year, I just saw a lot in him. And in PPR, I don't see a running back, obviously, outside of the elite guys, and you know that I would want to kind of round out my running back core to kind of be a second running back on my team. He does it all in PPR. He's going to be peppered with targets this year. Cam Newton's going to get better throwing to him. Obviously, Cam Newton was a little rough because he's not that type of quarterback last year. You know, well, not that type of quarterback to adjust to him last year, but now they have a whole another offseason to work together. I see a lot of good things happening for Christian McCaffrey. So I'm not trading for him really, like, which is funny that we're on, you know, I put him in the trade targets, but because I'm drafting him everywhere. But if I wasn't drafting him everywhere, I would 100% be trading for him. So if the owner has him and they're not in love with him, go try to get him, guys. He's worth it.
Like it.
Next up, Zeke. Zeke's my running back one. That's all I have to say. If I don't have him, I'm trading for him. I'll give up a lot of stuff for him. Done. That's all I have to say.
Yep. Keep it moving.
That's my everyone. Derrick Henry. So I don't understand why people are fading Derrick Henry so much. So, okay, I do understand the concept of it. They paid Deion Lewis like a starting running back. They're going to bring him in. He's going to be used. But that doesn't mean Derrick Henry's not going to be used. Derrick Henry's going to get all the goal line work. Like, I wouldn't say all, but like, I think he's going to get like 80-90% of the goal line work, which – touchdowns are a premium in fantasy football. If you're scoring a lot of touchdowns, you're going to be relevant. You may not finish as an RB1, you may not finish as an RB2, whatever, but you're going to help your team win each week. And I think people try to look at stats in a vacuum, like, oh, if this guy didn't finish as running back, you know, 12 or higher, I don't really want him. He's not going to fit. Like, no, you need him to win you weeks. You need him to win you weeks. So if he can go in a week and win, you know, have two touchdowns and finish with, you know, 24 fantasy points, like, that's going to help you win a week. So go get the guy that's going to help you in a week. So people are fading him. I'm trading for him. I think I have like four shares of him, four or five shares of him. I'm actually trying to work on my fifth or sixth. But I love Derrick Henry, and while there is a situation where he could be used less than Deion Lewis, there's a situation where he's going to help me win weeks, and he's going to provide some consistency from the touchdown department, kind of like how Rex Burkhead did last year for a short spurt of time.
Yeah, I feel like I've been screaming against the wall where I don't understand why people think Deion Lewis is all of a sudden gonna make Derrick Henry irrelevant. I mean, oh, they brought in another running back. Of course they brought in another running back. No human being can withstand carrying the ball 600 times that a team runs the ball. They need other running backs. And yeah, Deion Lewis is good. Yeah, they paid him money. You need to pay good money to good players, and you need good players on a team. I mean, yeah, so what if that, you know, Derrick Henry ends up with, what, 65% of the runs, and Deion Lewis takes most of the catches? Derrick Henry wasn't going to catch 60 passes
exactly.
Anyway. Like, it's... They need to think that this guy is going to be the running back 1 or the running back 85. That's not how it works.
No.
Derrick Henry could be the running back 10 on touchdowns alone, like you were saying. No. Like this, yeah. No, we're going to move on because I also like who you're talking about.
Yeah, I feel like you're getting so upset, man. It's okay. It's okay. If we had met up and had that beer, you could just take a sip of the beer and have a relaxing time.
I'd be a lot more relaxed if we were drinking and talking. But I'm gonna get relaxed. You talking about the
next one. Jerick McKinnon, this is my guy.
My boy.
So I found up an interesting stat, and I kind of did some digging. But in Kyle Shanahan's offense, in 2015 and 2016, Freeman and Coleman combined for 75 catches in 2015, 85 catches in 2016. So what that tells me is that Kyle Shanahan likes to do what? Throw the ball to running backs. And what does Jerick McKinnon do very well? Catch the ball from the running back position. So in a situation where he is now, you know, I'm going to say this loosely because I don't want anyone to get butthurt, but the RB1 over in San Francisco, and Kyle Shanahan loves to pepper his running back with targets, he doesn't have that second guy, like a guy like Tevin Coleman, where like, all right, this guy's kind of good. He can kind of sit behind him, which I know Shanahan was really big on Joe Williams last year, and Brady is still there, and Juszczyk's still there. But like, I just have a feeling like Jerick McKinnon, I don't think he's going to rush for over 1,000 yards. Like, I think he's going to rush for like 700 yards, but he's going to have like 80 receptions. Like, I'm really big on him. Greater sign, 80 receptions for Jerick McKinnon. And it's going to be screens. It's going to be flare routes. It's going to be, in routes. It's going to be out routes. Like, he's going to move all over the field, and they're going to exploit a lot of people who think that, you know, they can cover Jerick McKinnon with outside linebackers and middle linebackers. People are going to have to start putting cornerbacks, like slot cornerbacks, on him coming out of the backfield, because he's going to do a lot of exposing in Kyle Shanahan's offense. And I'm really excited for it, to be honest.
All right. Well, I am also very excited for that and agree with everything you say. I have a trade alert.
Oh.
Hold on. Typing. All right. Here we go. Live on the air trade completion. I just got the email. One dude that was upset that I accepted the trade with Rod before we started.
No.
For Jordan Howard. He came at me for Keenan Allen, which is silly because nobody's ever going to pay as much for Keenan Allen as I want them to.
Okay.
So I traded away Austin Seferian Jenkins in the trade with Rod, and that was my only starting quarterback. So I said, give me a quarterback. So he sends me that deal with Keenan Allen. I'm like, all right. Dude, we're talking about tight ends. I said quarterback before, but I totally meant tight.
Okay, that's what I was confused about. I was like, okay.
Yeah, no. Talking and reading at the same time doesn't work for me. I should really have learned that by now. So, all right. So I sent him Marlon Mack and Richie James for Mike Gesicki.
Marlon Mack.
And
I like that.
His exact words were, "Why the hell not? I just want to do an on-the-air trade."
Wow.
So, I mean, both things they both happened. We did the trade. It's on the air, and I like it. Why the hell not?
By the way, I'm a big Mike Gesicki fan, so I'm all about that trade for you. All about it.
I mean, I like the player a bit, but his situation.
Yeah.
I mean, I also own him and Albert Wilson, so whoever that safety blanket's, we've been saying safety blanket a lot on this show, but whoever that safety blanket's going to be, I got him.
I love it.
And we know Tannehill needs
that. Yes, he damn sure does.
So shout out to Dynasty Junkie FF.
Shout out.
Dustin. All right. I'll post that poll afterwards because I can't read the type and talk at the same time. All right. So let's recap real quick. Okay. Well, wide receivers, Corey Davis, awesome. Doug Baldwin, awesome. Will Fuller, yeah.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Julio, Amari, and Jarvis Landry. Awesome. Running backs, you gave us Christian McCaffrey, Zeke Elliott, Derrick Henry, and Jet McKinnon. I love all of those. Now, I decided to deep dive with the rest of my little suggestions over here. My first running back is Mark Walton of the Cincinnati Bengals. Uh-huh. Now, here's my deal. This is definitely a next year move because Gio Bernard is playing on the last year of his contract, and I don't think he will want to take the little money that the Bengals will want to pay him because they drafted Mark Walton. Mark Walton's good. He's not going to be any threat to Joe Mixon, but he can easily walk into that Gio role, and and you don't have to pay anything for him because he was just drafted, what, fourth round of rookie draft?
Four.
So around throwing future thirds, you know, it's like play money. I would easily throw a future third for the dart throw that is the secondary role in the Bengals backfield because no matter what they do, they always play both of those.
Oh, absolutely.
And even like I feel like even if Marvin Lewis finally freaking leaves, Walton is good enough to earn a role in that offense anyway. Uh-huh. So I know that's probably the first thing everyone's going to think because the past 3 years is like, no, this is the year Lewis is gone. But no, I swear this is the year Lewis is gone, but I don't think it'll matter. I think Walton is good enough to earn his role, and I think it's worth the dart throw of a pick you're throwing anyway.
Yep, I agree 100%.
And my next one is Chris Carson. I like Chris Carson. I can't get over it. I want to like Penny, but I'm a Seahawks fan, and the fact that they spent a first-round pick on Penny just annoys me for many, many reasons.
Multiple reasons.
But we're not going to get into that because that's not the point of the show. But Chris Carson right now should pretty much be free everywhere because everyone is on the Penny train, and you could just tell everyone, yeah, but don't forget that Seattle offensive line, and everyone will just give you whatever running back you ask because Their offensive line is so bad.
Terrible.
But Chris Carson was so good. It wasn't for a very long time. It was a very small sample size. But the dude was so good when he played. He was fun to watch. And of course, I was watching the games anyway, but it was just something to just sit and stare at. The dude didn't like getting tackled, and he wouldn't. I think you can get this dude for, you know, a nice compliment. Let them know their hair looks nice that day, and they'll send you Chris Carson. And I think it's completely worth it because even if I'm not saying he's going to beat out Penny just because of the freaking capital they put into him, but I don't think it's going to be a workhorse role for Penny. I don't think anyone behind that offensive line can withstand a workhorse role. So I think Carson's getting his plays, and Carson is just as good of a pass catcher as Penny, because I know Penny is pretty good at catching the ball. So I think they could easily pull some sort of Freeman Tevin kind of switch off where they'll pull him off for drives at a time, and it won't really matter who's in. They'll just play the same offense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a low risk situation for you as well. I mean, the great thing about dynasty football is that you're playing kind of an opinion based strategy where you're like, I think this guy is going to do X, so I'm going to trade him for Y, or I'm going to trade for him for Y, and you have years. Literally years to see it come to fruition. It's not like redraft where you have to win this year and then you have a brand new team, so you make trades based on what they're doing right now. With Dynasty, the reason why I love it so much is that you can make a trade now and it can, you know, be beneficial in two seasons from now. So definitely I like the deep dives for sure.
All right, and don't forget, you know, men like try and pretend to be manly, but they always love a hair compliment.
Absolutely.
Or like even eyebrows, man. You'd be surprised. Dudes take pride in their eyebrows.
Yeah, man. I don't even have hair. Like, I mean, I'm gonna say this so people know it visually. I'm a black guy, yeah. So like I have waves. Like I don't have like long luscious locks. So like if someone says, "Yo, your hairline looks really good," I'm like, "Oh, who do you want on my team? Like, what's up?"
let's trade. Chris Carson for saying your edges are
exactly.
Nice. All right, so let's get into quarterbacks, and again, This is only for super flex purposes, for one QB purposes. Don't trade for quarterback.
Yes. Yeah, don't do that. Do you want all right. Do you want to start off, or do you want me to start? You want to switch it up?
Yeah, let's switch it up. Because mine are – one of mine is just gross.
Yeah.
Go trade for Josh Allen, everybody. This, I mean – you know, you get that little bit of bile buildup in the back of your throat when you say his name, and I'm going to keep saying Josh Allen just to see how long I could say, many times I could say it before I get a little vomity. But Nathan Peterman's awful. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Josh Allen was just drafted probably in the beginning of the second, and so you probably don't have to pay much more than that. So if you can get a starting quarterback in the NFL, and he's going to start this year for less than a first-round pick, you do that because they're gold in Superflex. They're steady. It takes a really special kind of guy to not be playable in Superflex at the quarterback position. And while no one is a big Josh Allen fan, the hate is just not real. It's unbelievable. So I say go get Josh Allen. You can probably get him for cheap. I mean, I would throw Andy. It was a few weeks ago that Brian even said, like, throw Andy Dalton and something for Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And I think your team is off better in the long run.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
I agree.
Yeah. Go do that. And then my next guy is Jameis Winston.
Yep. Trade for him now.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, people are very turned off to him as a human being, which I get. But let's face it, fantasy football is not about being a good person, unfortunately. He is always going to be a starter in the NFL until he, even maybe if he straight up murders someone, there's been a few murderers come back to still be stars. He will always get a chance. And I think, again, as long as they're starting in the NFL, they should be starting in your Superflex team. Maybe just not Joe Flacco. So you can probably get him pretty cheap now because the suspension, and especially since it's still the off season, people are, there's talk about Tampa not wanting to bother with the mess that he is. Yeah, they're going to bother with the mess that he is because they spent the first overall pick on him. So go trade for Jameis Winston. If you can pull him somehow being your quarterback three, that would be baller. And I think you'd be able to flip him once he comes back because people forget how well he finished last year. I mean, he was hurt. He missed a few games. He came back and then two games later was putting up 20-something points a week. And, you know, that's a dream in Superflex. So go get Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I mean, he does some crappy stuff, and we don't like that in the real world. But in fantasy, I could care less about what he does, to be honest. Like, in fantasy football, like, if he's going to help me win, you know, after week four, I'm gonna try to pick him up. In real life, I probably wouldn't want anything to do with him, you know, team-wise, just because, you know, the type of stuff he's done. But fantasy, you know, go trade for him. He's definitely going to be worth it. And this is – you're going to get him for pretty low, especially in a super flex league right now. And he's going to be a big part of your team moving forward. So I agree with you. Who's mine? Oh, Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers. So before, I'm going to preface this by saying the Chargers are my dark horse favorite to get to the Super Bowl from the AFC. For them to do that, Philip Rivers has to play well. Like, their defense is good, but I really think Philip Rivers is one of the upper echelon quarterbacks, and he kind of is in the same category as Matt Stafford for me. I try to get both these guys in a lot of dynasty leagues I'm in because they fall so late, and I can kind of stack my team with more running backs, more wide receivers, and then pick up, you know, talent, you know, that usually finishes around QB1, which is the top 12 quarterbacks in rank wise. Like, Matthew Stafford's super underrated, and I think before the season starts, when I release my final QB rankings, I'm going to have Matthew Stafford 5, and I'm going to hear a lot of backlash for it, but I think I'm going to do it because I think he's. You know, up there, and I think hopefully with a new system, like, I know he doesn't have a new offensive coordinator, but a new system around him, like, hopefully he takes that next step up to be super, super elite. So, but with Phillip Rivers, I kind of have that same vibe. You know, he gets Mike Williams back from injury. Keenan Allen took a huge step forward coming back from that injury that he had two years ago, technically. Melvin Gordon is slept on as a running back. Austin Eckler is behind him, who catches passes very well. I know Hunter Henry going down kind of hurts him, I think it could help. I think that's a role that Mike Williams kind of slides right into, that hybrid, like, Evan Ingram type role, where he's not going to obviously be a tight end, but he's going to be, you know, all over the field in the middle as a bigger guy, kind of being a big security blanket for Phillip Rivers. So I'm hoping Phillip Rivers takes a big push here, and I'm kind of targeting him in a lot of leagues. I think I have like 3 or 4 shares of him. My other guy is Marcus Mariota. Like I said earlier, I'm big with stacks, and I talked about Corey Davis up there a little bit earlier. Marcus Mariota is a guy that is going to get you the rushing stats. And if you are playing fantasy football, rushing quarterbacks tend to be a lot more valuable than you may think they are going to be. Cam Newton always finds himself, you know, in that top 10, top 5 discussion because, you know, he has 8 touchdowns, you know, rushing during the season. Russell Wilson's always up there because he always gets, you know, 400, 500 rushing yards per season. You know, I think Deshaun Watson's going to be the next guy that kind of remains up there. I don't think he's going to get as many as them, but he'll be around the 300, 400 range with a couple touchdowns. So for a guy that people are kind of sleeping on, a guy you can get after Matthew Stafford and Phillip Rivers, Marcus Mariota is you know, one of the quarterbacks that I'm trying to target to get on my team for kind of a reduced price.
All right, that's my boy. You don't got to convince me.
Love him.
Yeah, and especially because it goes along with the Corey Davis talk that we were doing before. Mariota was hobbled a little bit last year, and another thing that people don't really recognize, and he's just so damn efficient. The only knock against him that I will accept is the one Brian keeps throwing at me, is that he's little. I was trying to find another way to say it, but he's... I mean, nobody's Cam Newton size, let's put it that way. But, I mean, he's
skinny, too, though. Frame. He's skinny, too. Like, Russell Wilson's so little, but he's, like, skinny. So, like...
Yeah, so that's a little scary, but I'll take it while I can get it. You're not paying too much for him right now, like you've been saying.
Yep.
So, I'd ride that. I'm all in on Mariota this year, so I like it. And I think I've drafted Phillip Rivers in at least half of my Superflex startups this year. Just because, like, he gets so late and he's good. I mean, yep. you don't need the number one quarterback in a Superflex league. Of course, it's a nice luxury, but like you said, you're running up on all those wide receivers and running backs, and you can still get number 12 QB in Phillip Rivers 18 rounds later. So, I mean, that was a completely made-up number. Sure, it's not going in the 18.
I hope not. I'll draft him there, too. I'll draft him before that.
But you can get him so much later than everyone else, and you're not getting that big of a drop-off in points. So, rock on. I love both of those picks. Apparently, you did not put any tight ends on the list, so I'll go through my two. I also went a little deep dive on these tight ends.
I love them.
First is Jake Butt. First of all, I like saying Butt. And second of all, he is good. He was hurt at the end of the college season, right?
Yes.
And he missed all of last year, so nobody really remembers. But this guy's coming out comp to like Jason Witten, and that is everything you want, because he will always be on the field, he will always be there for third down catches, and he will be scoring some touchdowns. And I love the Broncos offense. I low key am in love with them, just with everything that they're doing. I mean, I love Manny and DT, and I love all the young guys on their team. So, and Jake Butt is one of them. You, again, another one, like maybe you say, dude, your whole hair game is on point. You know, let him know their hair and their eyebrows are nice, and maybe they'll give you a Jake Butt. Because especially in tight end premium leagues, which most of leagues are these days, you'll have to pay something just because he's a tight end that has the chance to be started.
Exactly.
But I don't even think it should take a second to get
it. Won't take
if
much.
We're talking
no.
like current.
It won't take much.
And honestly, even if we're talking current picks, I'd pay a later second for him at this point, because late second's just as much of a dart throw as a guy who should be starting in a premium spot. Next is Ian Thomas, and this is another one of those next year kind of deals. Ian Thomas is the tight end on the Panthers that was just drafted this year. I think it was in like the 4th round, which is pretty decent capital for a tight end. And Greg Olsen is, I almost called him old, but I'm older than he is. But football years, he's old, but he, not but. And I love bringing up the Monday Night Football gig, because I just love picturing him and Jason Witten doing a play-by-play call. so I just don't think Greg Olsen is long for the league. He is making his exit strategy. He has back problems. He has leg problems. While Olsen is on the field, you want a piece of him. But right now, the only thing behind him is Ian Thomas. So I think he's a great stash.
Yep, I agree.
Again, a guy you don't really have to pay much for. The only thing is, again, it's a tight end in a tight end premium league, most likely. And honestly, if it's not a tight end premium league, you probably don't really have to bother. I mean, he could be on the wire for a little bit longer until later in the year. You just might be screwed if Olsen goes down. Because Ian Thomas's claim to fame is like the dude has 12-inch hands or something. So you know he's not going to drop the ball because he can engulf the ball in his hands.
Yeah, they just swallow it.
Yeah. So those are my tight ends, and you alluded to what you're going to talk about now earlier, so hit us.
I have a miscellaneous trade target. I don't try to just go after these. I kind of just try to get them in packages, like, you know, trades I'm already kind of talking about from the guys that we talked about earlier. But 2020 firsts are valuable to me, and I've traded away 2019 first for 2020 first straight up. I've gotten 2020
first. Wait. I want you to say that again. You traded a 2019 first mm-hmm. for a 2020 first.
Straight up. Like a week ago. And it's not because it's just because I have more faith in the classes coming out in 2020. So I'm just going to read off a couple names and you tell me what you think of it. And if you don't watch college football, you might not know. But
yeah, I was about to say, I'm not going to be much help on this one, but give
it's
me
okay.
A try.
So Jake Fromm, who's a quarterback from University of Georgia.
I know that name.
Tua Tagliova, I don't know how to pronounce his name, the guy from Bama who came in the national championship game to throw the game-winning touchdown. Jerry Jeudy, who caught a touchdown in the national championship game from Bama. DK Metcalf, who's from Ole Miss, long, lanky, fast receiver. J.K. Dobbins, who is probably going to be my RB1 in that class from Ohio State. He has a lot of similarities to Ezekiel Elliott, and he's shown very, 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 very dynamic flashes his freshman year. Najee Harris, the next Bama running back, next great Bama running back. Tyler Vaught from USC. And then probably my running back too, Jonathan Taylor. He broke AP's rookie rushing record.
Wow.
So you got to be good to do that. So, but you know, there's obviously more names in that list. Cause I wouldn't just do it for five people who could, you know, end up not being anything, but, right. That class is loaded for me. And it's something that I'm really looking forward to. So, if I can, I think I have in my one league, I have 6 2020 first round picks in a 10 team league, in a 10 team league. So, I'm going to get whoever I want. and my team is actually not bad either. What's funny is I have Mariota on that team. I have Rivers on that team. I have Baldwin on that team. I have McCaffrey. Like, I have a lot of the trade targets that we talked about.
So what you're telling me is you did zero preparation for this.
No,
for this chat, and you just went straight to that team.
Well, that's the newest team that I did, and when I was looking at the trade targets, that's who I went after. So it kind of worked out perfectly. But that roster's filled with a bunch of young guys as well. That kind of, we don't know how they're gonna shape up. So it's like they have guys like Kiki Kute, who's a young guy from Houston Texans. I have Mark Andrews, a tight end from Baltimore. So I have a lot of young guys. Like, that team is like, if we're looking at the average age of a team, that team's average age is probably 25 or something crazy like that. But those 2020 picks, and I don't plan to win anytime soon. It's kind of, you know, when you're in so many dynasty leagues, you kind of need one that is fun and you want to do a bunch of stuff with. So that was kind of the one for me. So it's a 10-team, 2QB league with three running backs, four wide receivers. It's expanded rosters for the shortened amount of teams. And I kind of just was I'm going to trade away a bunch of stuff. I traded in my first round pick and my second round pick or something like that, and just got a bunch of, you know, picks later in the draft. I have Stephon Diggs on that team. I have Marvin Jones. So I have a younger team, but it's just, I kind of want to see what the 2020 class can shape up. And if I can put my money where my mouth is, I figured I'd do it in at least one of my leagues, you know, not all of them. So that's where I'm kind of sitting there. I'm really excited about that.
Baller. In 3, 4, 5 years, that team is just going to be insane.
Yeah, if I'm not winning championships in 4 years, then I'm going to give my team up for orphan. At that point,
they'll be very thankful for all the money you donated to them.
Exactly.
All right, so that was all of our trade targets. That was fun.
Yeah,
we actually agreed way too much. I don't think we disagreed on any of them, which I guess is kind of boring, but I don't
care. We can't do another episode then. We got to at least disagree one time on the next one. When you come on my podcast, just let's not agree on anything.
Yeah, no, I don't care how much I like whatever you're saying when I'm on your show. I'm just going to be such a jerk about all of it. All right, so now we're going to get to some Trade Addicts trades because that's what we do. Let's talk about a Trade Addicts 1 trade. Trade Addicts Leagues, 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end premium. There you go. All right. Baker Mayfield and Le'Veon Bell for Odell Beckham Jr. Now, see, this one involved me, so I'm going to let you talk.
Yeah, I think I saw this actually on the vote, and I think it's a super flex, right? I think I picked the Odell Beckham side just because, I don't know, like, I think I just got finished watching his video, his workout video. I think I was scrolling down my timeline, and, like, I scrolled his video. I was like, oh, my God, what type of catch is he making? And then I scrolled down, and I saw this trade, and I think I just clicked Odell Beckham, and I was like, nah, it's got to be Odell. Like, I just watched his video. He's ridiculous. But, you know, looking deeper, I can see both sides of this. Like, I like the Baker Mayfield Le'Veon side. If Baker Mayfield is going to live up to that number one pick hype, this trade is going to be a landslide for whoever got the Baker Mayfield side. If he ends up struggling a little bit in, the, you know, the first couple years – 2-3 years, you know, the trade will be a little bit closer, and I think Odell's side will take it if he continues to be the same Odell self. But this trade is close, and it's good for both sides, if, you know, if I can think about what they were trying to do.
And so it's funny, the reason this one happened is I traded away Baker and Le'Veon.
Okay.
I was bored, and I was like, all right, I got some bees that are getting traded off my team. Like, who wants Baker and Bell? And what's funny is there's a dude, John, in the league that says, too bad you don't have Beckham on your team. I trade for him. So I'm like, okay. So I threw Baker and Bell for Beckham. And I didn't think it was going to get accepted because I didn't think the dude would take it for Odell. But he did. And then, of course, John backs out of trading for Odell. And I mean, to say I'm stuck with Odell is a little wrong.
Yeah.
But, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love – hashtag always Odell, man. He's my one-on-one.
Absolutely.
So I'm thrilled this happened. Twitter is just as – wow, what the hell? Split on this one. I'll just go with that because my brain sort of blanked for a second on anything else to say. 52-48 in favor of Odell Beckham Jr. So I don't care how close that is. Toot-toot, I win.
That's not close enough. Yeah. It's still a win.
Hey, we have a closer one. Not this one, though. Trade Addicts 3, we have Joe Flacco for a 2019 second. This one was actually 24% to 76% in favor of the 19 second. And while I don't really care too much about this trade in general, like specifically, the actual opposite of general, I just want to point out that this goes back to what we were saying before. A starting quarterback should not be traded this cheaply.
Yeah, at all.
Even if he's your quarterback 3 that serves a purpose, you know, bye week replacements and injury insurance are huge because I don't know a team that has won a super flex team without starting 2 quarterbacks every week. And it's only 2 weeks unless you're screwed and your quarterbacks have the same bye week and you're really screwed. It's only 2 weeks, but having a guy that's still going to put up definitely double-digit points where, I'd have to say, most of the time Flacco puts up double-digit points. And this is still probably the best receiving core he's had in a while. So to me, I picked Joe Flacco, and most of Twitter did not, but I also assume that most of them didn't read that it was Superflex.
No.
So, yeah, I assume you're on Flacco also?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm on the 2019 second side. I understand, like, I agree with everything you just said, and, like, I don't, like... Like, I understand completely, but, like, I just don't have faith in Flacco personally. But, like, value-wise, you shouldn't be able to get a starting quarterback for the 2019 second. Me personally, not that I would do this trade, but I just would rather have the 2019 second because I just think Joe Flacco might lose his job before the season even starts.
Even starts?
Yeah.
Bold.
Yeah. I mean, if he does, I'm not going to be surprised, but, like, I don't know. Lamar Jackson, that's my guy.
Don't get me wrong. Lamar Jackson, I hope, want him to be awesome because he is awesome, and I want it to be awesome in the NFL, but I think that's way too soon for him to...
Oh, yeah, he definitely needs time.
All right, well, I think I'm just going to cut all of that out and make it seem like you agreed with me somehow through the magic of editing.
Just start it right now. Like, I agree with you, Brian. I agree with you about everything. I mean, Dynasty, I agree with you about everything.
I'm way too lazy to edit all that out, so... Everybody, just forget the past 20 seconds happened and just remember the fact that he said he agrees with not Brian.
Not Brian.
All right, so let's go to our last trade on the list, another Trade Addicts 3 trade. This is not necessarily a baby trade, but a little bit of a trade. Deshaun Hamilton and Calvin Ridley for Kerryon Johnson. Now, this is the reason I put this in, because, first of all, the magic of Twitter. This one had 175 votes, jeez, which you'll notice is an odd number, but ended 50-50.
Yeah, I'm confused.
Right,
I'm
so
perplexed.
Twitter didn't want to announce a winner for some reason. So,
well, what if you got the number of votes wrong, though? What if it's not Twitter's fault?
Dude, that's messed up. I mean, Brian normally does get the Twitter poll results, so there is always the chance I screwed this up. But I remember looking like, what? All right.
Yeah.
As I typed it. So unless I read it wrong in the first place, nobody fact-checked any of this, because I can't imagine you caring.
No.
175 votes, 50-50.
Remember, we're on your podcast. I agree with everything you say.
Yeah. All right. So what side do you take on this?
This is tough. This is definitely like a 50-50 type of trade, because like you don't know what Kerryon Johnson is going to be. Like, he's definitely in a situation where, you know, he could potentially carve out a role, and next year when Blunt is gone or retires or something, like, he's definitely going to be one of the last backs. I think Amir Abdullah gets traded before the season starts, by the way.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. I have a couple shares of him. But like, I really like what Deshaun Hamilton could do in that offense as well. And you know, for the Broncos. And then I love Calvin Ridley, especially, you know, with the Julio news of them not figuring out a deal. Like, obviously I know he can still work out something next offseason, but like, definitely is looking up for Calvin Ridley. So I like both sides. I'm going to take the Kerryon Johnson side, just cause I tend to like lean running back more, when I'm building my team. But, this is definitely a good even trade for both sides.
See, to me, I would draft Calvin Ridley before I drafted Kerryon Johnson. That's just what it comes down to.
Really? And really?
Yeah. I from my first rookie draft to the end, I think Calvin Ridley came before Kerryon Johnson. Hmm. And I still stick with that. So, to me, the extra pick is on the wrong side. And while I don't know if Deshaun Hamilton will ever really be a fantasy-relevant player, I love him as an NFL player, so I want him to be fantasy relevant. So to me, that's just bonus. I have been trying to get Kerryon Johnson somewhere, and I haven't been able to do it. I guess that just goes along with what just happened, and maybe I'm still a little too low on him, even though I'm trying to buy him. But to me, still, Calvin Ridley, I mean, it's only like maybe two picks, three picks, and in a rookie draft, that's like nothing. But I still think Calvin Ridley should come before Kerryon Johnson. And that also is because I am hashtag team wide receiver.
Yeah. So we're opposite. So let's get into trade X4. Let's talk some trades, man, for some running backs, wide receivers.
Yeah, so we're going to do like some Survivor thing where people get voted off the island, and I'm going to take over someone's team so somebody does some damn trades.
I'm all about it. I just offered three trades, so I'm ready to go.
Yeah, just seriously, trade X4 people, if you actually listen to this show, where if you don't, I'm going to go in that chat room and find out who doesn't and yell at you, because damn it, those are my leagues, and you should listen to every word I say. And two, because you should trade. It's fun. It's a Trade Addicts League, and don't yell at me when I tell you to trade like you did last time. Alright, so I haven't been paying attention to how long we've been running. Well, let's talk about the trade I did with Rod, or Savvy, like you call him. Okay, I traded away Jordan Howard, Stephon Diggs, and Austin Seferian Jenkins, and received Alex Collins, Randall Cobb, and Mike Evans.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't want to write that down though, because I'm a visual person, you know. I gotta visualize. All right, say it again.
Jordan Howard. Stephon Diggs.
Diggs.
Austin Seferian Jenkins.
ASJ.
For Alex Collins.
Collins, okay.
Randall Cobb. Mike Evans.
So Howard greater than Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Evans greater than Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end premium?
Mm-hmm.
What's your tight end? Wait, are you giving away ASJ, or are you taking him?
I give him away. I just traded for Mike Gesicki.
Oh, so. Yeah.
But even still, I don't care about premiums. To me, tight ends are just kind of crap.
I don't know. That's close. That's really close.
See, what's funny is, like, I traded in this league. In this league, I screwed up. I didn't click enough buttons, and I traded away Mike Evans for Marcus Mariota, pretty much.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I told you. I didn't click enough. Like, I wasn't paying attention when I was clicking buttons. And when the trade went through, and I'm like, oh, nice. One of my trades went through. What did I do? Oh, what did I do? So, yeah, it was a very – and I got Stefon Diggs that same day. Like, I did, like, four trades to try and, you know, clean up my mess. But now I have Mike Evans and Marcus Mariota on my team. So I'll just say my evil plan finally came to fruition. This was my plan all along.
Got to do what you got to do sometimes.
All right, so the way – okay, first of all, the original offer was just Collins and Evans for Howard, Diggs, and Ian Thomas. So Rod knew what he was doing coming after one of my guys. Did you leak my player target list?
I did not. Is that I did not. I even put it on my personal email, not my top shelf email, so sorry you couldn't see it.
So, like, I knew that was close, and honestly, I even thought about accepting it, but I'm like, no, let's see what I can get away with. So I added Cobb to it. And he came back with, all right, well, if you want Cobb, then we need to switch into Austin Seferian Jenkins. And honestly, I don't like ASJ. I think Jacksonville is a mess. I don't think anything will be consistent out of there. I don't think, if anything, ASJ is going to get touchdowns. I don't think he's going to get a lot of actual catches, which case the premium doesn't mean all that much. So I was completely fine. Like, I did that fake, ooh, let me think about it. So I didn't want to seem too
weird. Yeah, you're like, oh, let me check some stuff out. I mean, while you're you're just setting your lineup.
Let me crunch some
numbers.
You're
just setting your future lineup with that minute.
Yeah, so I was all about this trade. I love Mike Evans. I keep trading him away because people keep coming after him and giving me a very good deal for him, and I have a trading problem. So I'm glad to have him back. I also traded away Alex Collins, even though I keep saying to trade for him, so I love having him back. And I am so easily impressed upon, and everybody has been talking about Jordan Howard lately, and it has only been great or terrible and nowhere in between, and my brain has started to hurt that I wanted him off my team. Like, I was not on for this roller coaster ride. I wanted off. So I got guys that I like. Alex Collins and Randall Cobb were both buys for me, and I love Mike Evans, and I am very, very sad to see a share of Stefon Diggs go.
Love Stefon Diggs.
I mean, I won't know. Yeah, I know. I love him so much. I don't know if I would say I quote unquote won this one, which I guess we'll find out in 24 hours when Twitter tells me if I did. But I think it's fair, and I love my side, and I know his side made his team better. Also.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's fair. It helped out both sides, and you know, obviously the Twitter polls, you know, that's what you use to value the stuff that you guys do. But like, you can't be mad at the value you got back. If it made your team better, it made your team better. And I think that's something that, you know, everyone who makes trades need to realize. Like, yeah, like, people are going to disagree with your trades. People are going to say, oh, the trade wasn't good for you, or the trade was good for you, but they don't know all the parts of your team or what you did to kind of get to this point, or what you trade away, what you're looking to trade for still. So, you know, do what you guys want to do, you know, make your trades and be happy with your product moving forward.
Yeah, I like it because I did it. All right, man. Well, we have been recording for about an hour, and it is officially past my bedtime. I need to go cozy into bed, watch some cartoons until it's time to actually pass out. Thanks for coming on. It's been awesome. Before I even started the podcast, we've been talking about getting on, you know, so it's cool that it finally happened. And next time, pizza, beer, and podcasting.
Absolutely, man.
Man, we should start a podcast called Pizza, Beer, and Podcasting.
It could be a spinoff of both of our podcasts where we just eat pizza and drink beer, talk about our own podcast.
I love it. We're gonna do it, and let's freaking fly Rod back here. He's back to Jersey.
Yeah, he doesn't want to come back to Jersey though. He hates Jersey.
I don't care, man. We're taking for this. He'll come back. We'll fly him back once a week. We'll start a Patreon.
All right, I'm fine with it. Done.
Nice. We'll make sure to tell Rod about it.
No, just surprise him.
All right. We got your tickets. All right, so before we sign off, again, tell everybody where they could find you and all the stuff.
You can find me on Twitter, my personal, at Xavier J. Warner. I do a lot of stuff on there, but our podcast is Podcast? I don't know how to say it, plural of podcast. Our podcast Twitter is at Top Shelf DFF. We retweet polls. We follow back everyone. We have beautiful graphics coming. So, you know, feel free to look at that, retweet, like, talk to us, ask us questions.
Yeah, I need to get on this marketing manager that you guys got. I need some
marketing director, man.
Directors. Oh, man, I did not mean to demote that guy. I apologize for the lack of respect.
Disrespect, man. He was gonna make you. He was gonna make you a graphic too, and now you messed it up.
No, I'll make it up to you. Join a league I'm in. I'll trade you something cheap.
Just tell me your hair nice.
All right, that's collusion. I take that back.
Yeah, don't do that. You'll get banned. Dude, just
off air, man. Okay, so you have a podcast, Top Shelf, at Top Shelf DFF.
At Top Shelf DFF. We're at Top Shelf. We're Top Shelf DFF on everything. So if you just type in Top Shelf DFF on the website, I mean, on Google search, you'll find us. If you type it in Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, or not YouTube. Well, technically, we're on YouTube. We just don't have anything up yet because we're going to start that up, I think, during the season. So, you know, feel free to look out for that. But Top Shelf DFF everywhere. Website's up with rankings and articles and all that stuff. So good to go.
Awesome. All right, man. This was fun. Let's do it again. And good night.
See ya.